folks that have helped with this project: Leah Barth, Dan Drager, Ken Kitchell, Heather Milligan, Dan O'Keefe, Anna Amp, Sam Fan, Dustin Herman, Sandy Tun, Jessica McLean, and Kelly McConaughey, all from Bradley University in Central Illinois. We've been working on an invasive species. The plant that we've been working on is garlic mustard, Aliaria petiolata. It's a non-mycorrhizal, shade-tolerant exotic species that has been native to Europe. It was actually brought to the United States when folks started coming over in the early and late 1800s. They brought it over as a medicinal plant, and they planted it in their gardens, they used it in their salads, they used it as a medicinal plant, and now it has escaped and is crawling across the country. The North American version is actually very, very aggressive, and the one in Europe is not. So we have some unique challenges in terms of actually controlling this organism. The impact of this particular species is acknowledged, but what it actually does to soils is very poorly understood. It is an ecological threat that is moving from the east currently towards the west. It is mostly found in temperate forests, and for this particular session, which is on cropping, our cropping system is actually a pine plantation. So it's a little bit different than some of the studies that you've been hearing about this morning. This plant actually can come in at very high densities. You can see down in the corner here that all of the green here in these patches are actually garlic mustard in these forests. So you can see they have a huge impact on the other types of plants that are going to come into these areas. Garlic mustard has a very unique chemistry. It actually has a secondary plant product that has both carbon, nitrogen, and sulfur is also very important. This compound is actually very important. It is also in other members of the same family. It's in horseradish. It's in broccoli. You've tasted this chemical many times. It's not necessarily toxic to us because we eat it in low quantities, but it's very toxic to things like the insects that would otherwise eat these types of plants. In the particular situation of an invasive plant, it may be these particular chemicals that are allowing it to be invasive, because the areas that they're moving into, the insects don't have the capacity to actually consume these materials because of these toxins that are in the tissues. The primary glucosinolates that are found in garlic mustard are sinigrin and glucotropialin. If you actually look at the tissues and look at the location of these compounds in the tissues, We've looked at glucotropialin, and we've also looked at sinigrin. This plant is a biennial. It comes in the first year, it grows as a very, very small rosette, and then in the second year, it overwinters, and then it bolts in that second year. In the first year, you see that as you move through the season, you have very high concentrations of glucotropialin in the stems in yellow and in the roots in kind of that army green. And then as it overwinters, the glucotropialin actually is in very low quantities. If you look at the sinigrin, which is another of the glucosinolates, there's quite a bit early in the season, but as the plant begins to overwinter, there's quite a bit of sinigrin in the stems and in the roots. Well, of course, as a biennial, you also have to look at second-year distribution to understand where these chemicals are. And since we're interested in how they're entering the soils, anytime you have tissue loss, you also have these chemicals that are in the tissue and entering soils. So in terms of glucotropialin, we have large concentrations in, of course, the reproductive tissues. So those are in purple, the stems and the roots throughout the season. And then if you look at sinigrin, you have the same patterns, but there's a huge amount of sinigrin that actually goes in to defend those reproductive tissues as they're made and then as they fall to the ground. So glucotropialin and sinigrin are in these plants, and they're in the tissues that are going to be entering soils and affecting soil organisms there. The question is, how are they affecting soil microbial communities? There's actually a few studies that have looked below ground at this plant. And some of the studies that have are relatively disturbing, because it seems that they're coming into forests and they're actually knocking out some of the mycorrhizal communities. There are studies that have documented that they're knocking out some of the VA species. And if you're talking a hardwood forest and you're losing your mycorrhizal species, you can change significantly your forest diversity with loss of these organisms. The alterations may actually be a consequence of the cyanide component of the glucosinolates that are in these compounds that may be disturbing some of the soil microbial communities. On the other hand, it may be that there's other compounds that are affecting soil organisms. So the questions that we wanted to focus on are, does garlic mustard alter soil microbial communities in the areas that it invades? Again, there's some evidence that fungal communities are affected. Is it just the mycorrhizal communities, or is it just also the saprophytes? Because losing saprophytes in a forest can also change decomposition rates and turnover of materials there. And the other question, the one that we haven't yet started to address, is what is the actual mechanism? Is it root turnover? Is it litter degradation? Is it exudates that are leaving the roots and entering soils? How is the plant affecting soils? Our study site is actually a very unique site, even for central Illinois. It is the Sand Ridge State Forest, and in the 20s, they decided that they should come in and show that these really, really sandy areas should be productive. So they went in and they planted them to pine plantations to show that they could be very productive. Well, of course, they started to grow pines, but the pines were never really harvested because at the same time, well, shortly thereafter, they brought in irrigation and they showed that the sandy soils could actually be productive cropping systems. So they put in corn right next to it and had great productivity if you irrigate corn on these soils. So Sand Ridge State Forest is very unique in that it's a pine plantation on sand prairie. Also has some very unique species like cactus in the middle of central Illinois. So it's a great place to study, but these pine forests still exist there, and some of them are becoming somewhat degraded, but they're being infested by this particular plant, garlic mustard. I want to remind you that garlic mustard density can be extremely high in these forests. You can have literal carpets of these plants in these forests. Some years you'll have carpets of first year, some years there'll be carpets of second year, some years there'll be carpets of both. So the analyses that we've been looking at is we've been looking at garlic mustard versus non-garlic mustard sites in pines. Well, we started to investigate the forest, and we also found this confounding factor. There's actually black locust in these forests, and of course black locust is a nitrogen fixer, so we're adding nitrogen to some of these sites. So what we decided to look at was garlic mustard in pine, black locust and garlic mustard in pine, and pine without garlic mustard. We wanted to look at, of course, black mustard without garlic mustard, but it doesn't exist. That particular component doesn't exist. So there's something about these black locust sites that are really drawing the garlic mustard in. We looked at soil organic matter dynamics, bacterial fungal ratios, and then the catabolic response profiles. And we started to do some nematode density and diversity studies. Since all of these slides pretty much look the same, we have the pine here that's actually in like a burgundy. The pine plus garlic mustard is in a blue, and the pine plus garlic mustard plus black locust is in a kind of this mustard. So we have the, if you look at garlic mustard cover, there is significantly greater garlic mustard percent cover in the pine plus black locust than there is in the other two sites, although there are garlic mustard here and there's very few. If you look at pH, there's a significant impact of pH, but it's the impact likely of the black locust rather than the garlic mustard. If you look at general soil organic matter characteristics, we have carbon, nitrogen, and then the C to N ratio. There are no differences in carbon content or nitrogen content in the pine and the pine plus garlic mustard, but of course there's a small increase. It's not a big increase in carbon in the pine, garlic mustard, black locust. So these sites tend to be a little bit more fertile because of that addition of nitrogen since about the 20s. There's a difference in C to N ratio in that the highest C to N ratio is in the pine. It drops a little in the pine plus garlic mustard, and of course it drops significantly in the pine plus garlic mustard plus black locust. So there are some differences in these sites in terms of soil chemistry. What is the effect on microbes? In this study, we just looked at the garlic mustard and the non-garlic mustard site. If you add glucose, because we wanted to do substrate-induced respiration with these particular soils, if you add glucose, you get large increases in respiration. This is micrograms of CO2 per gram soil per hour on the y-axis and glucose concentration on the x-axis. So there's a very large increase in bacteria in these microbes, pardon me, in these garlic mustard sites. But if you look at the fungal to bacterial ratio using substrate-induced respiration with inhibitors, so we used an antibiotic for the bacteria and an antibiotic for the fungi, and then looked at the consequences on respiration, we actually see a decrease in the fungi, a decrease in the fungal to bacterial ratio in the garlic mustard sites. So we are losing some of the fungi, and this is likely reflecting some of the saprophytes that would otherwise be in these sites. We also wanted to look at the catabolic response profile, and when you look at that, you actually add substrates. So we looked at carbohydrates, amino acids, and carboxylic acids. These were actually lower concentrations and shorter duration than that for the substrate-induced respiration, and we didn't see the same effect on glucose that we did. So we're going to go back and repeat this study to see what's actually going on in terms of the carbohydrate additions on this site. But if you actually look at the carboxylic acids, in terms of citric acid, there's a different response of soil organisms to additions of citric acid. So you have a low response in the pine, high response to citric acid in the garlic mustard stands. If you look at ketoglutaric acid, you have the same response. Ketobutyric acid, it's high respiration in the pine site, medium respiration in the pine plus garlic mustard site, and low in the pine plus garlic mustard plus black locust. So we are starting to see some separation, some differences in the effects of sites that have garlic mustard but don't have black locust. So there are some impacts of these organisms on soils. And we're starting to sort through what the effects of some of these different substrates might be on these organisms. It may be that root exudates are having an impact on soil communities and not just the glucosinolates themselves. We started to look at nematode density, and these are the three of the sites that have pine and garlic mustard. And we didn't see a really clear pattern with regards to nematodes and nematode diversity. We did at one of the sites, and so we're going to go back in and see if there's something unique about the chemistry at this one site that we're seeing differences in nematode diversity with the pine and the pine garlic mustard. All of the sites that we looked at, we had three replicates of each land use type, so we had three sites with pine, three with pine and garlic mustard, and three with pine, garlic mustard, and black locust, so that we could really see some robust changes. So basic soil properties do not differ among pine stands unless they have black locust, and substrate use does differ. Invasive weeds are altering microbial communities. Bacteria are increasing. It seems like fungi are decreasing, and other organisms may be affected, which would not be surprising if we're seeing chemistry changes. And the bottom line is that ecosystem functioning is likely altered by the changes in microbial dynamics. We have carbon and nitrogen turnover studies underway. The bottom line is that eradicating garlic mustard might not be enough in these sites. If we go in and remove the garlic mustard, there may be some residual effects of changes in microbial communities or changes in nutrient dynamics that might be detrimental in these sands, which are already nutrient poor. So we may actually need to consider some ideas on how we restore these soils once we eradicate garlic mustard from these sites. I thank you for your attention. I'm probably the only person that almost went over on time. Thank you.